I do appreciate the prayer that's gone before, and as you're probably used to me saying by now, I ask you continue to pray as I stand before you. Certainly trusting that the thoughts that are on my mind are led by the Spirit of God, and would certainly be glorifying to His name and edifying to you, or building you up as Church of Jesus Christ. I think I'd be remiss in saying just momentarily, briefly, how much we appreciate the hospitality of Cool Springs Primitive Baptist Church. It's been 14 years since we were here last, and while many faces have changed, the spirit and hospitality have not. And I encourage each of you to continue doing what you're doing. Brother Bill Walden used to say, just keep on keeping on. And that's the best way to put it in everything that you do. Your love that you've shown to us, the fellowship that we've enjoyed, the wonderful singing that we've been able to listen to has not gone unnoticed. The labor of love in the kitchen by so many that have provided, we say thank you, and that falls so short in the way that we feel this morning from the experience of this weekend. Our prayer is that the Lord would continue with you and strengthen you in all things that you endeavor to do in His name. As you have shown you have been doing, our encouragement is that you would continue to do that. And thank you from the depths of my heart. Sister Fanny Crosby, who wrote several songs that are in several of our hymnals, wrote a song that has always had impact on me from the time that I first heard it sung. It wasn't just a few months ago, at a very sad occasion, the funeral of Brother Mike Winchester, that I tried to speak, and I used some of the verses from this song that she wrote that had an impact, I think, on Brother Mike's life and has continues to have an impact on my life. It's called "All the Way My Savior Leads." All the way My Savior Leads Me. The first stanza says, "All the way My Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside?" In thinking about just that first stanza, it is so impactful in the mind of the believer that if we truly believe that Jesus Christ leads us. As she asked, what else could we ask for? The leadership of our shepherd, Jesus Christ, in our lives is the only thing that we need in our lives by which to be led. We can be led astray by so many things in life. But knowing that Jesus Christ is our shepherd and He leads and guides His sheep, that is sustenance enough for me in my life to, as I grow older and I try to learn patience, and I say that with a smile, but it's a lot of truth to it. Not a very patient man in a lot of things, but I pray and I try to do what is needful that I might find myself to be like the Apostle Paul when he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." I believe that's the epitome of learning patience. But I have found that if I am cognizant spiritually of the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a sense of satisfaction that I can experience, or we'll use the Apostle Paul's word, there's a sense of contentment that I experience that is unlike anything else. Now, having said all of that in the leadership of our shepherd, I'd like to go to the Song of Solomon in the first chapter and read just a couple of verses to you. And see the grave importance that Solomon, in all of his wisdom, sought out when it comes to being led by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 7, it's as if the bride is talking to her bridegroom. And she says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" It's a very simple, straightforward question that's asked that basically says, where do you make your flock to rest at noon? Where does your flock feed? Show me, so I don't go the way of the flocks of anybody else. But show me where your flock rests. Show me where your flock feeds. And lead me into this place. So the response, and I realize this is a love letter between Solomon and his bride, but you can't not think that this isn't so prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go read the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. Go read the fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon and see how this applies to the love of the bride of Christ to her husband, Jesus Christ. Now then, he says in verse 8, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Go thy way, therefore, by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent." I submit to you today that there is a place, there is a path, there is a way that is well trodden. And I believe this way is well trodden even back in Solomon's times, else he wouldn't have used the plural version of footstep, and he wouldn't have said footsteps. But it tells me that in the leadership of Jesus Christ, in the child of God's life, specifically in this case the believer's life, is so evident, based on so many different aspects of the way that we should go. To the extent, I think the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." And he's not saying we should follow men, but rather the Apostle Paul saying, "I'm following after Christ. And if as long as I'm following after Christ in truth, then you follow me in that same path." He's not saying follow me because of what I do, but he's saying I'm walking in that path following Christ. And if I'm doing that, then you walk in that path following Christ. You see, it's a very familiar path. It's a very familiar way that is a way well trodden. It's a way that many have gone. But I think it's important to know that the original paver of this way is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, I think about verse 4 or 5, when they ask Him to show us the way, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ paved the way. Now then, He didn't pave the way so that nobody would follow after Him in the way, but He paved the way for the specific intent, purpose, and in accordance with His will, that those that believe in Jesus Christ and follow after Him would follow after Him very specifically in that way. And no other way. Remember, the bride said, Where do your flocks feed? Where do they, you make them lie down at noon? Because I don't want to follow after one of the flocks of your companions. I don't want to go over here with this flock or with that flock. I want to know where your flock feeds. I want to know where your flock rests at noon. And the answer is so beautiful, so poetic, as much of this book is. You know, when she asks that question, she says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth." Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. When she receives her response, he says, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women." When the Lord sees His church that He purchased with His own blood, He sees her as the fairest of the fair. That there in the eyes of our bridegroom is no greater sight than the church that's following after the Lord in His way. O thou fairest among women. And I contend this morning, and I think it's the fourth chapter of this very book, that the church, in her desire to seek after and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, is brought about not by a natural intellect, not by something in that's generated in the carnal mind, but from the very soul that Jesus Christ, or that God has sent the Spirit of His Son into the heart of, crying, "Abba, Father." In the fourth chapter, she says, "I sought Him whom my soul loveth, but I found Him not." I believe she does that three times. She charges the watchman, "If you see Him, you come get me and tell me." There's a great love displayed from the church to her bridegroom, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is made evident in the influx of love that God Himself pours out on the church. Otherwise, she wouldn't be, Brother Philip, the fairest among women. She'd just be another bride. But she's not just any other bride. She is the Lord's bride. And He looks at her. Go read the second chapter of the Song of Solomon and see what He asks of. He says, "Let me see thy countenance and let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely." Sweet is thy voice. Have you ever thought about how when the Lord Jesus Christ sits in the presence of His bride and sing praises to God, just how lovely the voice of the bride is in the ears of our Heavenly Father, just how fair her countenance is when she's asking, "Where do I go next? And if you don't know, O thou fairest among women, go thy way by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent." So she charged the watchman, "If you find him, you come get me. You come tell me." She says, she went out one last time and she says, "I found Him whom my soul loveth." I found Him whom my soul loveth. I don't know how to equate that feeling that undoubtedly she had. And I don't know exactly how to equate the feeling that you and I experience when we find Him whom our soul loves. We could equate it to the natural union between man and wife. That's probably the best natural example, seeing as that's the example that the Apostle Paul uses, the example that the Lord Himself uses. We can even equate it to somebody that perhaps hadn't seen a dear loved one for a long time, and then they finally are able to see him. And there's a great period of rejoicing between those two. But no matter what example that we might come up with, they all fail in comparison to the reality that we have when we find Him whom our soul loveth. there is an elation of spiritual joy in the individual child of God in that experience. But there is an elation of spiritual joy collectively in the church of Jesus Christ when we come in like we've done this morning, like we did the past 2 days, and assemble ourselves together. Why are you here? Why are you here? Our desire should be that we come in fully expecting to find Him whom our soul loveth. Why? Because we assemble ourselves together as His bride. And what does the bride want to do? She wants to lay her eyes on the face of her husband. That experience in the believer that you and I have experienced time and time again in the house of God is unequal to anything that we've ever experienced anywhere else at any point in time in our lives. Why? Because He is the one whom our souls loveth. And she says, I found Him. I found Him. It's not too far reminisced from the parables that the Lord spake about the woman that lost her gold, and she swept the whole house till she found it. When she found it, she ran out to her neighbors and she said, come rejoice with me, for I found what I lost. Or the man with 100 sheep and one leave, and he go out and finds it and bears it on his shoulder and brings it back and says, I found it that I've lost. Come celebrate with me. But now we've got something that exceeds silver and gold. It's something that exceeds natural things of this life. We've got something so great, my friends, by the sheer mercy of God that He's given it to us. We have a desire in our hearts to go out, seek after, and find He who our souls loveth. But I like what she does when she finds Him. I like what she does when she finds Him. And there's been many a time in my life that I've had this experience. I hope there's many a times in my life that are to come that I have this experience. But as the bride of Christ assembled here today, it's an experience we share, is it not? We come in, we sit down, we sing, hoping that He sings with us. We pray, hoping that He intercedes for us. We preach, hoping that the doctrine is preached and the gospel of God is proclaimed so that the Spirit would bless us, so that we would find Him whom our soul loveth. And what did she do when she found Him? I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and I would not let Him go. Brothers and sisters, that's love that is exemplified in the church of Jesus Christ when we find our husband in the congregation of the saints. I held Him and I would not let Him go. Why? Because He is the way. He is. He paved the way. He built the way. But greater than all that, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we find Him in our lives, whom our soul loveth, we know that we have found this place, this special place, where the flock feeds. Where the flock rests at noon. And we can look and see on that path many steps, many footprints that have gone on before, that have stood fast against the enemies of God in the church, who have stood fast for the perpetuity of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach today. I asked and somebody told me this church was established in 1809. Is that correct? 1809. What is that? 208 years? 208 years. Brothers and sisters, a church doesn't survive 208 years by man. The church survives 208 years by the husband of that church, who the church continually seeks after. And when they find Him, they won't let Him go. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. I think of Mary on the morning of the resurrection when the Lord spoke her name and she realized it was revealed to her who that was. She fell at His feet and laid hold of Him. I can understand that. And I believe, but based on what the Lord said, she had no intention of letting him go. What did he say? The Scripture says, touch me not. Do you want to know what that means? Mary, it's not the time now. I've got something that I need you to do. You know what he needed her to do? He needed her to go to his church and tell them that he had arisen. And it's not too much unlike Sister Ruth, following Naomi back to Israel. When Naomi said, just go back to your gods and to your people. Go back to those flocks that you're used to. What did Ruth say? Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I'll go. Whether thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there shall I be buried. The Lord do so to me, if aught but death part thee from me. I'm telling you what, Ruth loved her mother-in-law, Naomi. I'm telling you what, Mary loved her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the extent that she didn't want to let him go. But he says, you've got to get to the church and you've got to tell them that I've risen just like I said I would. Brothers and sisters, that should be our display of love when we seek after and find our Savior, that we reach out and lay hold of Him in such a way that there is no intent to ever let go. Why? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Go thy way, therefore, by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. If you'll allow me, the feeding the kids by the shepherd's tent, historically speaking, is the safest place for the young ones. Because if they're next to the shepherd and the wolf comes a-calling, they'll be the first one to fall under the protection of the Savior. But let me give you what I think about when I see feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I remember in my youth, when I was just a young boy, 8, 9, 10, whatever the case may be, and I remember going over to Brother Martin Hopkins' house or Brother Lynn Ely's house. I remember going over to Brother Harvey Bass and Sister Marie Bass's house. And I was just a kid, and man, I like to play and I like to have a good time. But I remember so often that I'd just sit on the floor without saying a word and listen to what these men and women that have defended the faith had to say about this verse or that verse. Sometimes, Brother Philip, I was like you. Mama said, go to bed, and I'd go to bed, then I'd sneak back up the hallway just a little bit just so I could listen to what they're saying. I get a picture of children being fed by the shepherd's tent in those scenarios. For you see, as we've been instructed, this building is not the church. Who sits in this building is the church. And whether you sit in this building and congregate in worship, or whether you sit in somebody's home and talk Scripture, you're still representative of the church of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, you children, there's no safer place to be than sitting on the floor listening to your pastor and your deacons and your mothers in Israel converse about the Scripture. You know why? Because they have been shown and have found and have followed after the way, which is Jesus Christ. Go thy way, therefore, by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. There is a experience that is probably, at least right now, and it'll change at any moment in time, and I reserve the right to change it, probably one of my favorite places in the Old Testament. And it's when Moses went up on Sinai and communed with God in the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. It says in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." And he says, "And Moses saith unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight." Look at verse 13. "Now therefore, I pray thee." And he just said, the Lord told him already that Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now Moses says this, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace," if I have found grace in thy sight. I don't believe Moses is questioning God and saying, "Well, if I really found it, if I really found grace." No, I think what he's saying is, "Because I have found grace in your sight. You've told me I found grace in your sight," or "found grace in your sight. Because I have found grace in your sight," he says, "show me now thy way." Show me now thy way. Do you know that the way that we have, the way, the truth, and the life, that God shows us because we have found grace in the sight of the Lord? And it's not because we have found grace in the sight of the Lord because of anything that we've brought forth. There's a couple of songwriters. One is, "Nothing with my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling." Another one says, one of my other favorite hymns, the last verse says, "The best obedience of my hand dares not appear before thy throne, but faith can answer thy demands by pleading what my Lord has done." We haven't found grace in His sight because we're so upright in our own nature. We found grace in His sight because of the way, the truth, and the life. That's how we found grace in the sight of God. And now he says, "Because I have found grace," or "because we have found grace, show me now thy way." Thy way, not mine, not my way. I know what my way leads to. You know what my way leads to? My way leads to destruction. My way is a way of confusion. My way is a way fraught with pitfalls and snares. My way is a way that will lead me off under another flock. My way is a way that will take me off the path where the footsteps of the flock have been laid for years and years since the Lord walked in this low ground of sin and sorrow. My way is a way that I don't want, even though oftentimes I think I want my way. Even when I want my way, I don't know what I want. But when we realize that by the grace of an almighty God and the work of His Son on Calvary's cross, we have found grace in His sight, what do we say? "Lord, show me now thy way. Show me thy way." And whether that's individually in our day-to-day lives or whether it's collectively in a church, it still rings true. "Show me now thy way." There are things that happen. There are things that occur that we have. We go to the Lord in prayer and say, "Lord, I don't want to. I want to do the wrong thing here. So show me what I need to do." And He does. Why? Because we have found grace in His sight. "Show me now thy way, that I may know thee." Now I equate that to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, "that I may know Him." I don't believe the Apostle Paul is saying, "You know, I don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, so I'm hoping I can follow after Him and win Christ, and that by doing those two things, I might finally figure out who the Lord is." No! The Apostle Paul, of all the apostles, surely he would be one that would say, "I know who He is. I met Him in the way, and He dealt with me." No, what I believe the Apostle Paul is saying is that I may continually know Him more. I want to know more about Jesus Christ. I want to know more about His life in this world. I want to know more about what He did on Calvary's cross. I want to know more about the morning of the resurrection. I want to know more and more and more. And I believe that's what Moses is saying here, "that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest." Here's your evidence, Moses. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. Then Moses asked if he could see God's face, and God says, "You can't," or he says, "Show me thy glory." And God said, "I can't show you my face," but he says in verse Verse 20, he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me." There's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock, or the tear. He says, "And I'll pass by you. And because you have found grace in my sight, I'm going to cover your eyes so you can't see my face. But once I pass by you, I'll remove my hand and you can see the hinder parts of God." There is a place by... You say, "Where is this way, Brother Mark? This way that Jesus Christ says is the way, the truth, and the life." You know where it is? It's in a place by God. It's in a place by me. Standing upon a rock. And if the Lord so is moved by His purpose and grace to take us and put us in the cleft of the rock and allow us to see His glory as He passes by, that's what we get when we stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths and walk therein. Well, Jeremiah says, "Wherein is the good way?" I don't want to be like the Jews back then that said, "We will not stand in that way. We will not seek or ask for the old paths. We won't walk in those ways." I don't want to be like them. I want to be like Moses. "Show me now thy way. Show me now thy way, that I might follow after you, that I might be bound by your love and your guidance in my life. Show me now thy way. Thy way." Because I submit to you this morning that the Lord is well pleased with your work and labor of love in His house and among His saints. Because there is an evident spirit that's found here that is reminiscent of the spirit that I find back home in Texas, or Arkansas, or Louisiana, or wherever it is that the saints are bound together, walking, seeking, looking, and asking for the way. And it's not just any way, it's His way. Why is it His way? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. We seek after Him. Our desire is to follow after Him. Our desire is to lay hold of Him. Our desire is to not let Him go. How often have I found Him and laid hold of Him, and it wasn't much time, and I let Him go and go off and do something else? How often have I done that in my life? You think I've learned by now? Oh, but I tell you, sweet the moments are when I find Him again and again and again, and I lay hold of Him again and again and again, and I don't let Him go. I don't let Him go. Honestly, my soul's desire is to not let go, though sometimes I do. But aren't you glad that He's merciful? Aren't you glad that His mercies fail not? That His mercies are forever? Aren't you glad that He's a loving Father who chastens us for the things that we might do that go contrary to His will? And then He goes off and He picks us up and He brings us back to the fold. That we might for a time find the one that our souls love. Grab hold of the one that our souls love. And not let go of the one whom our souls love. My friends, when the Lord visits the congregation of His saints in worship unto Him, that is exactly the experience that we have. And if you recall to mind in times past how the Lord has blessed you immensely in your endeavors as the Church of Jesus Christ in Danville, Georgia, then perhaps you'll be like me. And the older I get and the further down that path that I go, it seems like the Lord blesses me to hold on to Him longer than I have in the past. And I don't know why His mercy is so great to an old sinner like me. But I thank my God for what He has done for me and my family and my life by blessing us with a knowledge of the truth that we have. And the only way that we can maintain that is to stand in His way. The only way we can maintain that is to look for the footsteps of those faithful soldiers that have gone on before and stood in defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with this. My brother has been collecting audio sermons from, I mean, just everywhere. People now just FedEx him boxes of tapes from all across the country, and he's been converting those to digital format so they don't get lost. A lot of the tapes he gets, you can't even understand it because it's been so damaged. But every once in a while, he'll send me a link. Hey, go listen to this. Hey, go listen to this. Hey, go listen to this. And he'll tell me who it is. He'll tell me what year it is, 1950, 1960, whatever the case is. And I'll go and listen, and I submit to you, it could have been a sermon that I heard last Sunday preached by Elder Clifford Goins back home at First Primitive Church in Dallas. You know what that is? You know what that's indicative of? It's indicative of the footsteps of the flock. And you hear that, and you think, I question, am I doing right? Am I going the right way? Am I in the right way? And I listen to something like that, and it's something maybe I tried to preach on weeks before, or months before, or whenever. And I hear it, and they use the same text that I use. They use the same proof scriptures that I use. They use some of the same song lyrics that I use. And I think, I must be in the footsteps of the flock, because that's the truth. And the Lord sanctions that by His presence in showing us His way. May God give us grace in every facet of our lives to ask for, to follow after, to seek, and to stand in the way of Jesus Christ in all that we do, say, and think in our lives. May He richly bless and keep you is my prayer.